Isaiah chapter 46. I would ask you if you'd open your Bible this time to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46. I'm going to jump right in. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. That's what it says. Suze looks at me cryptically, like, what are you on about? I'm reading from the Bible, honey. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Those are the false deities of Babylon. Bel, the king followed in chapter 5 after Nebuchadnezzar, there's Belshazzar. And remember the name Daniel, Belteshazzar? It's the same as Baal. It's the same god. But Bel, and there's a lot of, Bel hyphen names when you get to Babylon. And Nebo stoopeth. So we got these gods bowing down and stooping. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They were a burden to the weary beast. Okay, what's going on here? Well, let's develop this idea a little bit first, okay? But whatever's going on, these idols are a burden to the animals. They're on carts, right? They're upon the cattle. Your carriages, carts is the idea, right? Were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. So here we have Israel worshiping these false gods. They're going into captivity with the children of Israel. That's wonderful. Thank you, God of mine. Why don't you carry us into captivity? Oh, I can't carry you. You have to carry me. You have to take your idols and put them on these carts so that they're heavy for the beast to carry. What kind of God is heavy for beasts? Now, our God, is he hard to carry? Is he heavy for you? You carrying him? No. He carries us, does he not? That's the point. That's the point. It's divine sarcasm. He's ridiculing. And all through these passages, we've seen this several times now, God is ridiculing the idols. They can't do anything. You remember the one, he plants this, ash or something, nice wood or some maple, or I can't remember, right? And he carves up a third of it, throws it in the fire, and makes his bread with it. Another third of it, he heats his house, and another third of it, he builds an idol out of it. He bows down, he says, you're my God, deliver me. And God says, okay, what's wrong with this place? Let's go through this again. A third of it you made your bread with, a third of it you heated your house with, a third of it you built to God, and you bow down to that God and say, deliver me? What's wrong with this picture? Well, it should be evident what's wrong with this picture. Now, listen, I don't suspect you have idols that you've carved at your house. I don't believe that. So we don't have a problem with idolatry at all, ever. Now, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Anything that's the most important thing to you in your life is God. Now, some of us, as Christians, we're chasing the American dream. I can almost see it. There's always a place where I don't want to go, where only God goes and judges a person's heart. But when you see somebody and that is all their activities are about how much wealth they can amass. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, you're probably dealing with a duck, right? Well, I can see people's activities. I'm not saying that you work hard and you're trying to, provide for your family. God bless you. That's not where I'm going with this. But if it's like, how much can I accumulate? And look at my new snow sled, my new four-wheeler, my new fishing boat, and look at all the stuff I got, and it's all about all these things that you have. And none of those things in and of themselves are problematic to me. If you buy a snow sled, at some point it's going to be new. So you bought a new snow sled, then you're a bad person now. No, I'm not saying that, but you know what I mean, where it's all about, all the time, it's always about how many things you have. That's an idol. It's called mammon. And it's a problem. You carry that. It doesn't carry you. Money does not deliver. It makes a wonderful tool. It makes a horrible master. All the gods that are not are hard masters. Think of alcohol. Wake up every day, how am I going to tie one on? Or drugs, where am I going to get my next fix? Drugs are expensive, you know. They don't give them things away. So I gotta get high, so I got to, you know, heroin or whatever it is. And boy, that stuff costs a lot of money. Now I'm knocking over a bank. Now I'm, you know, holding up a drugstore, you know, trying to get OxyContin or whatever it is, right? Right? That's a hard master to serve. Now, our God is easy to serve compared to. Like all the other gods, he demands your whole life. But his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And all these other gods, they're a burden to carry. But our God carries us. Let's keep going. Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. You're not carrying me, I'm carrying you. That's the point. You get that. Okay, listen to me. All these gods, you have to carry them. Me, I carry you. Hearken unto me. Which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he. I love that. What is he saying? From the womb to the tomb. I got you. I got your back. What are you getting all nerved up about? You know, from the cradle to the grave. I'm your God. This, I was reading this and studying this, and this gave me quite a lot of comfort. I'm serious. Even to your old age, I am he, and even to your hoar hairs will I carry you. That's not what it sounds like it says. It's your gray head. And I'm graying exponentially my work the last 2 weeks. I can count the grays. 10% more in 2 weeks. It's crazy, you know what I mean? I'm getting older. I'm not 18 years old anymore. You know, when I was in my young 20s, I was in the Marine Corps. And I could do anything, or I believed I could. 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Because I was a United States Marine. I was a kid, and I was rugged, and I was, fearless. No, and I'm not that anymore. I never was, but I thought I was, but I'm not that. Now I'm older, and I can't do what I once did. You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, like it used to be, if I lost a job, that was, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And, no problem. I'll land on my feet, I always do. But now it's like, you know, who hires, you know, 55-year-olds? You know, it's more worrisome. And then I throttle back a little bit and say, what is my problem? God's been in charge the whole time. It's not my wit, my wisdom, my charm, my good looks, my anything that I thought it was that got me by. It was always God. And he says, yeah, that's exactly right. Hearken unto me. You're born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age. I am he, and even to your hoar hairs will I carry you. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Oh, amen. And I was such a, because I say I'm fearless and stuff, because sometimes I worry a little bit about, you know, the future, what's going to hold. And this country is dramatically off track, dramatically. And God's going to have to judge this nation. I think it's going to affect us all. It's going to hurt. Something to get worried about? I don't know. I think these verses are still in place. Hey, I'm still God. Oh, America's going to go through some stuff, but I'm still God. I know who you are. I got your email address. I got your address. I know how many hairs you have. Even if they're turning gray, I know how many you got. I'm so totally got this. And every day he invents a new way to ask us, do you trust me? And I'm like, oh, I'm so hard. I'm trying it so hard, you know. The mature Christian is one who doesn't trust in himself. He trusts in the Lord. Or she. And if you're capable and you're rugged and you're strong and you've got talents and abilities and intellect and you think that's the be-all and end-all, and it's so not. Even to your old age, I am he. I'm going to carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. How many times are you going to say it? And you see how he just stoops down to where we are? Even to your old age, look at this. I am he. even to your hoary hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. That's like a fourfold, you know, you didn't get it in the first three. I'm going to deliver you, you know, I'm going to deliver the goods. I'm going to, my promises are yea and amen. I'm not going to drop you. I never drop anyone. I'm not going to forsake you or leave you, or you're not going to be flapping out in the breeze. You know, what happened to God? How come he bailed on me? Nope. I know how to do this. I've been God a long time. To whom will you liken me? I hate it when people liken God. You know what God's like? He's like, you know, God's like an egg. You know, because it's got the shell, and it's got the white, and it's got the, like, the yellow, the yolk. And so it's like them three parts. And that's like God. I always want to interrupt somebody, just yell at them, shut up. Or just stop that. God is never like any egg I've ever seen in my whole life, ever, at all. Okay? And anything that has three parts, that's what God's like, right? No. No, and by the way, you know, when you start in like that and you're comparing God to anything, he's like, what are you comparing me to now? You know, the Bible says that he's light. In him dwells no darkness. Build a statue of light. I almost think that's the point. You know what I mean? What are you going to compare me to? To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me? What, that we may be alike. I'm like what? Like no one or nothing I've ever... He's beyond description. Now, he reveals certain things to himself about it. He reveals certain things about himself to us because we can't discover them. It's not like we sally forth and, you know, 1492 sail the ocean blue and discover God. You know, we don't do that. We don't discover. He reveals himself. Now, if you're really interested in finding out what he's all about, this book would be a wonderful place to start looking. And he tells us, you know, certain things about him. But at the end of the day, we know some things about him. We don't know. And by the way, here's the other part of this. I can't figure him out, and that gives me great comfort. You know, I don't want a God who's like me or just slightly smarter and slightly stronger. That's no comfort. He's way past my finding out. I'm like this little grasshopper, and he's like this God. That, I don't know if that says it all, but he's way past. He's not. He doesn't have equals. And by the way, he doesn't have equals. I'm God. There's no other. He would know. I'm God. There's a whole pantheon up there, and whatever one you tap into, we're all basically the same. Some of us have a few quirks, you know. Some of us like righteousness done this way. Some like it done this way. So, no, I'm the only one. I don't know any others. I would know. I'm God. What are you going to compare me to? There's no comparisons. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance. They hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place. Why doesn't this God that they made carry them? Because he can't. They have to carry him. You know, the phone rings. Yep, your God's ready. Come down here and pick him up. Well, send him. He's God. He should come pick me up. What do you mean, come pick him up? Yeah, he's ready. So you go down, you pick up your God, throw him up on your shoulder, carry him. Oh, this God weighs a ton. I shouldn't use gold. I should use tin. Oh, my goodness, this God weighs so much. Is it? Think it all the way through. So you're not an idol worshiper, physically worshiping idol. But whatever you're worshiping is not God. Whatever's important to you, the heaviness is there. It's not in physical weight, but there's a draw on your life. There's a drain. He's using up all your youth, all your mind, all your he or she or it. And you know what I'm saying. This God that you think is more important than the God. They bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him, they set him in his place. He standeth from his place, shall he not remove? Where you leave him, that's where you'll find him. He won't go anywhere. You know, he can't. One shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. God, deliver me. I can't. I'm a block of wood. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God. There's none else. I am God. There is none like me. Can I authenticate that for you? Yes, you can. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Let me show you how I'm God. I can tell you how it was before there was, and I can tell you what will be that hasn't happened yet. No other God does that. You see, our God is outside time. He invented time, but he's not subject to it. You know, we talk about the Ancient of Days, you think like he's got this like long flowing white beard and he's been around for a bazillion years. There weren't years, and years don't affect him. He's the Ancient of Days like compared to us and how we would score it, but he's not like he's getting older every day. Like we pray to him, he's like, and you are Adam, don't you remember? Oh yeah, right. Oh yeah, now I remember. Because he's kind of like, he's not as young as he once was, you know? My mind does that. God's mind, don't you worry about that. He's not getting older. He's outside of dimensionality of time. People said it like this. So I'm on a street corner. I'm watching the parade go by, watching the different floats and the different big old balloons and, the one with all the roses, and then Santa Claus comes and all the different, and I'm just watching as it goes by. Well, it would be like God being above the parade and the parade being time, okay? He can see the end from the beginning. He can see them, you know, in the staging area getting ready. He can see them disbanding. These ones have already marched and they're all done. He sees the whole thing. You can't do that. I can't do that. And by the way, angels can't do that because Satan can't do that. Satan would tell you the future. You know, I said this before. I always kind of laugh. You know, some of these, like the best prophets out there are like 30% accurate. And that's very, very funny to me, because if you flip the coin, you'd be about 50% accurate. So they're not even as accurate as a coin toss. And I think God does it just so we'd all laugh at them. You know, like the, what was that that hotline that you call and you get your, what? Psychic hotline. Right. They went bankrupt, and the headlines were they never saw it coming. You have to laugh, right? Like as God, you know, kind of just tweaks them and just kind of, so we were at the fair, me and Suze, years ago when she was in office, and we were at the Republican booth there, and we were selling coffee and giving out information, stuff like this, and the psychic from two doors down comes, and she wants to get some coffee. She goes, how much is that? I said, you tell me. Look in the future and see what I was going to say, and then pay me that much. It's easy. She was not even amused a little bit. No sense of humor whatsoever. But I'm just thinking, you know, you got all the goods here, but nobody can do that. Only our God can do that. That's the whole thing. He's like, I can remember the former things of old. I'm God. There is none else. I'm God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. I wonder if it's going to turn out in Revelation, like he says it's going to turn out. Gee, I wonder. No, my counsel is going to stand. I'm going to do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Is that nondescript eastern man? No, I think he's talking about Cyrus. It's still in the same passage where we met him last week. You remember? And we looked at him, you know, very specific. He's going to loose the loins of kings. We laughed at that, and we talked about, you know, some of them, you know, the gates and all that, that very specific prophecy that God said about Cyrus. And we read in Daniel where that came to fruition. I think that ravenous bird, that man that executeth my counsel, I'm in my own thinking, I'm thinking that's Cyrus. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. I shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. I'm against Israel. I think that church is a place to Israel. Wait a second. We just read that I'm going to do all my counsel. My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Now skip that next two verses. I will bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion. Zion's a geographical location. It's in Israel, by the way. It's in Jerusalem for Israel, my glory. Well, I wonder if that's really going to happen. Well, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. I am not one of these replacement theologians. I know more scripture than I couldn't be that. I would have to like have a lobotomy, and I'm not trying to be discourteous or something. What do you do with verses like this? Please, somebody tell me. I got to have that conversation with somebody who's like replacement theologian. Israel's on the outside looking in, and church is a place. Now, to some degree, I know that's true. I don't care if you're Israel. I don't care if you're, Muslim, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. If you don't believe in the God of the Bible, if you're not a born-again Christian, believe in Jesus Christ as the Bible describes him, you are on the outside looking in. But as far as the church replacing Israel, there's a lot of scripture you're skipping. Two different destinies, two different births, two different missions. It's not the same. And God's saying here, no, I got a plan for Zion, for Israel, my glory. Chapter 47, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. Okay, where'd we go here? Well, now we're talking about Babylon. Bible says a lot about Babylon. Sit in the dust is not an invitation to prominence. It's an invitation to disaster, okay? There is no throne, right? Let's look at this and go back and look at it again. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Let's talk about this a little bit. Now, judgment upon Babylon. I'm going to use you to take over Israel, but then I'm going to slap you down. We see this all through Scripture, by the way. It's not the only time this happens. God's going to use Babylon for his purpose, but then at the end of it, you're ripe for judgment too. And this is judgment. A virgin daughter of Babylon. Now, he's talking to her like she's a trophy of war, spoils of war, and she is. Is he actually mean virgin young ladies who haven't? Yes, and he's using them idiomatically for the whole nation. I think it's in Deuteronomy, it might be in Numbers, but I think it's in Deuteronomy when it's talking about Israel, when they go out against another enemy. They capture kill all the men. They can take, they say, oh boy, she looks kind of pretty. I think I'll make her my wife. You can do that. All countries did that. There was a procedure you had to go through, of course. And you remember all the things that had to be done, but the answer is yeah. You killed all the capable men. You can't leave them women just. No, I'm serious. That's how, and I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm not saying that's a godly, but in that culture, just think about it. You go out to battle and you kill all the men. Now what? Well, take them women for wives. And this is what it's saying here, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit in the ground. It's a humbling thing, right? You're not going to be called tender and delicate. Millstone time, you're going to grind meal. Forget being a princess. You're a captive now, right? And the rest of it, uncovering, bearing, nakedness, shame, etc., and etc. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans. Chaldeans, another word for Babylonians, okay? They're used interchangeably in Scripture. You'll see that more when you get to Daniel. When are we going to get to Daniel? Long time. We got Jeremiah, we got Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Maybe not this week and maybe not next, okay? Maybe it'll be a while. But Chaldeans, all I'm saying that for is Chaldeans is used for Babylonians. Sit thou silent, get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Okay? Is Israel going into Babylonian captivity? Yes. For 70 years. Yes. And this is God's explanation. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. So what's the problem then? Well, thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou verily, very heavily laid thy yoke. How about a little mercy? Okay, I might have used you as a chastening rod, but you didn't have to be all that. You didn't have to be so cruel. And thou sayest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither did thou remember the latter end of it. You should have remembered this prophecy. I'm a lady forever. You know, that reminds me, I think it's in chapter 18 of Revelation. I can't remember. Maybe along the... Let me look it up. I think I can find it pretty quick. It's a strange boast of Babylon. I think it's in 18. I must think because I saw it. Oh, now I thought I could... Yep. 18:7 of Revelation. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I am a queen and am no widow. Doesn't that sound like kind of like an echo of that? That same kind of idea? Revelation 18 is the fall of Babylon, curiously enough. And here, it's there's a near and a far of the fall of Babylon. You know, Babylon fell in the sense that it falls to the Medo-Persians. And we looked at that, did we not, in Daniel. But it doesn't fall in the sense of like getting destroyed. It's really good reading on that is Isaiah 13 and 14, Jeremiah 50 and 51, and Revelation 18 and 19 is the fall of Babylon. You should read those three sets, the two chapters in each one of six chapters. You should read it all in one sitting. And just so it's all fresh in your mind, you remember all the stuff and compare them, like as you remember them, stuff like that. Because Babylon never fell like it's recorded. Like when we looked at that in Isaiah 13, 14, and in Jeremiah 15, 51, I know we haven't got there yet, but it talks about it being like overthrown like Sodom and Gomorrah, never to be inhabited again. Utter destruction. They won't even use the building debris from to rebuild the city. Nothing like that. It's some very specific things that just haven't happened yet. And so I think the utter destruction of Babylon hasn't happened like the scripture says it's going to happen. Anyway, here he's talking about I'm gonna pay you back. And here in verse 7, thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever. Not so much. So that thou didst not lay these things in thy heart. You should have thought of these things that I'm telling you, God said. Neither didst thou remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thy heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow. Isn't that interesting? Remember back in... Revelation 18:7. I sit a queen and am no widow. And here he's saying, you're saying I'm not a widow. You're going to be a widow, all right. When I kill all your men, you're going to be a widow. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, thou hast said, none seeth me. That's a mistake anytime any of us say that. We're not getting away with anything. You know, we were talking about, like, Sunday morning, we were in 1 Corinthians 5, interesting chapter, one that it's not my favorite one to teach on. You know, we got a guy living with his mother's wife, his father's wife, and so he's living with them carnally, you know, cohabitating is the idea. Wow, what a fun thing to discuss, right? He's not getting away with anything. Everyone says, oh, we're open-minded about this stuff. And so you think like the idea is like, okay, you know, you're getting away with stuff. Just because everyone, and I was telling about like, you know, I'm not looking in your window to see what's going on. People lie to me all the time. Well, what about this and what about this? Well, that we're not, oh, okay. What am I going to do? Steal your email and try to, I'm not, people lie to me all the time. All the time. So what happens? I let them. You know, God will out him in his time. Your sin will find you out, but not by me. I'm not doing any detective work. I'm not trying to, you know, if you pull the wool over my eyes, okay, the wool's over my eyes. But guess whose eyes it's not over? The one who counts. You know, we think we're so smooth, we're getting away with stuff. We ain't getting away with nothing. And maybe we can keep our spouse in the dark or something like that for a while, but God will out us at the appropriate time. But here's the thing, even if that time is a long while in coming, our secret sin, or what we think is secret sin, it's open scandal in heaven. Nobody's getting away with anything. And I think about that very often, you know, because sometimes I go through these little cogitations. Well, if I do this and nobody, and maybe I can, oh, God, well, let's abandon that idea. You say, you don't really do that. Yeah, I really do. Yeah, I really do. When I'm being tempted, I'm thinking about why I should, you know, not, don't make that, like, don't raise it up to the nth degree like I'm plot and knock over a bank or, you know, really, but I'm just, you know, in the daily course things, I'm trying to cut corners or trying to, you know, be lazy or trying to do something that ain't quite right. And I'm thinking like, yeah, who'll know? Nobody will. Oh, yeah, God will. And, you know, they say, you know, character is just what you do when just nobody but God is watching. Well, I want to have character. I want to be before you all as, like, the real deal. I don't want to sit here and try to, like, you know, tell you, like, I really love the Lord. I'm really trying to obey him and trying to con you all the time because I'm really not. I'm really not the person I say I am. Well, I'd rather be real. If nothing, I can be real, can't I? And I just remember all the time, God's watching. Oh, God's watching. Oh, God's watching. And it makes a difference in how you live. Because here they're saying, no one's seeing me. And that is such a bad idea. Thou hast trust thy witness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Just one does, but it's an important one. Capital O, one seeth you. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. It's such a, never mind. You get it. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. How do you want to say it? We have maxims and idioms and expressions. What goes around comes around. You know, we talk about our comeuppance and, you know, people getting what they deserve. We can say it a thousand different ways, but it's something that, you know, it's right all through our culture and our films and our, you know, songs and everything, you know. Here it is. You say, oh, no, I'm getting away with it. Nobody's seeing, you know, there's no one else besides me. Shall evil come upon thee? Not know. Mischief. Shall not be able to put it off. Desolation, thou shalt not know. Okay, I get the picture, Lord. Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries when thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Cast a spell on me, he's saying. You get your enchantments going. They've got you so, you know, brought you to the place you are now. Try to put a spell on me, see how that works. You know, because he's calling them out. You got these sorceries, your enchantments. You've labored from your youth in these things. Well, how are you going to be able to profit when all these things come upon you, this mischief, this evil, this desolation that I'm promising you? What are you going to do, put a hex on me? You're going to make a little voodoo doll of me and stick pins in it or something? God's not impressed. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. What are astrologers, stargazers, and monthly prognosticators? people who tell your future. They use horoscopes. They will use, you know, different tarot cards. They will use different methodology. They can read it in the tea leaves or the entrails of an owl. Doesn't matter. They're going to tell your future one way or another with these enchantments, these stargazers, these monthly prognosticators. With this in mind, I don't read my horoscope, not even for amusement. I don't. That's just foolish little stupid stuff, right? Yeah, probably, but stupid stuff that I don't want to be involved in. You do what you think you got to do. It just gives me a bad vibe, you know what I mean? We're like all sitting around, somebody says, so what's your sign, they ask me, and I say, I'm just general tendencies, or, you know, I don't even want to, because they're going to read it then. I don't want them to read it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to, because I might even actually consider it in my, and I don't want to do that. I want to read my future in the Bible. You know what I mean? This is what happens to the man who's found faithful. You know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's my future. If I play out the string correctly, you know, if I do the things I'm required to do, I know what the future is, secure in the Lord. The particulars, let them surprise me. You know what I mean? Can these save you? Not so much. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves. How are they going to save you? They can't save them. Shouldn't your God first be able to save himself? They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Total desolation is the idea. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. Now, in chapter 48, we're not going there. Everyone be calm. We're not going to go to chapter 48. But remember, the chapter doesn't, chapter breaks just come where they come. Somebody put that in there. Hear now, O Israel. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. So he's talking about these, and he's comparing them to the ones who are not going to save, and he's calling his people back. And so, you know, we can talk about, oh, them, they're bad, they're not going to be saved, their gods can't save them, yada, 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 yada. But that's not the point. The point is, don't put your hope in things that won't save. And now God's calling us to return to him. And by the way, when we read things like this, it's my hope, my expectation that where the scripture finds us, that's how we'll, like, if the scripture's saying, like, we shouldn't be doing thus and such and we're doing the thing they're saying not to do, that we should repent. If it's saying we should live a certain way or think a certain way or act a certain way, or, you know, like we've been on and on about weeks about our personal relationships. And that is my expectation. I have every hope that people who are on the outs here in this fellowship and say, this ain't right. This ain't right. I shouldn't be coming here week after week after week and I should be mad at this person. That's not right. When the Spirit of God speaks to us, we go and we make up, hey, listen, I've been just carrying this and I, you know, we have to make this right. We're Christian brothers. We have to. And I expect that. So like when it's saying, like, you know, repent, and well, if you need repentance, I think you ought to repent. If you're right with God, it's okay to be right with God. You know, some that they always call and you repent all the time. And there's always room for me to grow and to change and to be more holy and be more Christ-like. Guess what? None of us got that. But wholesale repent, I'm on the right road. I'm trying real hard. I'm you know, trying to be filled with the Spirit and trying to do things in the power of the Spirit, not trying to do things in my own energy and things of this nature. Repent, I think I'm on the right road. Now, stop messing up? Okay, I'll buy that. I mean, because like I say, it's okay to be okay with God. But if you're like living a lie and it's something real and the word's calling you to repent or put aside idols, because, you know, I read something like this and I'm thinking, like, all right, Lord, what are you, number one in my life every day? Is there something else challenging you? Am I losing my focus? I'm losing my compass. And I expect that he would answer me and tell me something if it was so. He's not real shy about letting me know, you're messing up, son. You're going off in this direction. Come on back over here. And he's mad and he puts me in a penalty box. No. He loves me and he restores me. How about that? The part where I get in the penalty box, I get a real pickle, is when I go on in my obstinacy and my rebellion and my disobedience. He knows how to pull me up short then. But you know what I'm saying? Let this word have its effect, I guess, is the long and short of it. We don't want to be just hearers and not doers. Amen indeed. Okay, Stan. Matt, send us out of here in song, would you? Our Father and God, we don't want to be just hearers. We want to be found faithful. And I know, Lord, this is a Wednesday night crowd. Idolaters, well, we're all wrestling with giving you the preeminence all the time. And we have other lesser things that concern us, and we have to take care of business, and we have to work, and you know, we have to do the job and all the things that this world requires us to do. But Lord, help us never lose our focus. Help us to wonderfully put you first in everything and take you on the job with us. And all these things that are trying to divide us from you, Lord, that we would go through them with you. That you care about our everyday job and our schooling and our... Wherever the day finds us tomorrow, Lord, be there with us and remind us that you are there, that you love us, that you are not like the idols, Lord. You are ever a source of strength. You're going to carry us from the cradle to the grave, your word says, and we thank and praise you for that, Lord. Be glorified as you work these things into our heart and we live them out. In Jesus' name, amen.